Please enjoy this previously recorded segment.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Nate Wiles, Executive Director for Live and Work in Maine. Nate, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Excited to be here. It's great. It's great. Well, first of all, for those who don't know across the country, tell me a little bit about Live Work in Maine. What's its point? What's its purpose?
Sure. All that.
And more.
So, yeah, sure. So, the brief version, Live and Work in Maine was born a few years ago out of a recognition in the employer community that there was a lack of message out there for why people should be here full time. So, Maine is known as vacation land. We print vacation land on all of our license plates. You see, hear it on the radio. You see it on TV. But you don't hear a message at all, typically, about careers that are here and what it takes to become vacation land. And so the employer community sort of had this conversation for a number of years about how best to do that. And so the founder of Live and Work in Maine, Ed McCursey, who's also founder of a recruiting firm in Portland, was sort of sitting in the middle of all this. He had all the employers as clients. He didn't have a sort of dog in the fight for one brand over the other. He's a new Mainer himself. He relocated from Massachusetts. And so he said, well, what the heck? Why, let's start this thing as a third-party initiative based in the private sector that can partner with employers all around the state, can partner with state government to coordinate messages, to convene the right parties around the table, to put out a clear and concise value proposition to the world about why Maine is the best place to live and work full-time. And so since that time, the original impetus of it was, hey, let's just get together and try some stuff. Right. We're doing nothing right now as a state to promote ourselves as a great place to live and work. So anything's got to be better than nothing. And let's treat this as a startup. Let's fail fast, fail cheap, test a bunch of different messages and delivering in a bunch of different ways, see what works and go from there. And so we started out with some ads in the Jetport. It was really more like an ad buying group than anything. Spun up a website with a brand, the logo, the circular logo. This is Live and Work in Maine, just to put the message out there and see what happens. In the first couple of weeks, probably a few thousand emails came in that we didn't really know what to do with. So my first job at Live and Work in Maine was to say, how do we respond to people that want to help, that heard a message, that our message resonated in some way with people either that had left Maine and come back, that, like myself, grew up in a culture in high school and in college, very much of if you want to make it, you got to leave. If you really want to do well, you got to leave Maine. How do we break those people who have broken that that cycle and that have discovered that Maine really is a great place to live and work full time? We had a lot of people coming out of the work that wanted to help, which is awesome. And so we've evolved over the last few years to become an organization that is trying to coordinate the best practices of all these great organizations and people that are doing some piece of this pie around the state, whether it's work with the immigrant community or it's work with getting adults back to work or retrained, or whether it's people that are going outside of Maine, outside of the United States to find the talent they need to grow. Everybody's learning something about these little pieces because there's no silver bullet here. So we see our job as the convener and as the aggregator of best practices and then a deliverer of a concise message that everyone can benefit from. So our job is simply to make it easier for everyone else to attract the talent they need to thrive. So if we do our job well, employers report year over year that it's getting, hopefully it's getting easier, or at least they have a higher confidence level in how to target and attract the talent they need to grow.
You know, it's interesting, and you talked a little bit about it right there, that Maine is a unique state, but to be honest with you, every state would argue they're unique, but we have had a declining in population. We have a lot of young people, as you said, leaving. You know, I
have told the story before. I went and spoke in front of a group of what we would call middle school students that did career day, right? The career thing. And we had 800 people in the gymnasium, including parents, kids. And by the way, I would rather speak in front of 800 adults than 800 kids in my entire life. Just so we're very clear about where that stands. And, you know, other than the fact I showed puppies and things that made everybody go ooh and ah, which was very effective, by the way, in keeping the audience
bribery
engaged.
Works every time.
Bribery
yeah.
works. I didn't have candy. That was the only thing I was lacking. Is, you know, I did ask the question of the audience about midway through the quick presentation, which was, hey, how many of you plan to stay in Maine? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what was interesting and frightening to the teachers and frightening to the parents is that almost no hands went up in the entire gymnasium. That's a real problem when even at middle level, right, middle school level, we have this perception of you have to leave. So let's start there.
Yeah.
You know, how do we change the perception even at that lower level? What are some of the things that you're looking at to do to start people thinking about it at the early ages?
Sure. So we look at that in two different ways. Number one is how can you answer yes to a question that hasn't been asked? In other words, how can we expect anyone to stay if we don't ask them and show them the opportunities that there are to stay? And the other side of that is the cultural pressure. So my firsthand experience, I grew up in Cumberland, went to Greeley High School, fortunate that had parents that had the foresight and were able to make the investment in moving to Cumberland for the sake of the public schools. So I grew up in what was considered a high-quality public school system. Yet I and many of my peers, as I continue to learn and talking with folks who grew up in Maine, my guidance counselor told me straight up, I can do better than go to UMaine, quote unquote. Fortunately, I did go to UMaine because I can't imagine having been as successful in college as I was. I had a great time. I learned a lot. So I'm glad I went there. Despite their guidance.
Sure.
And then at UMaine, the guidance, the culture, was very much, hey, if you really want to make it, if you want to do well, you got to leave Maine. You got to get out and see the world, so to speak, because we're in this like tiny little dark corner up here. You got to go out and see the light. And so I did. Unfortunately, I took that advice. I have no regrets about leaving because it showed me what I had left behind. But I resent the fact that no one took the time culturally. We didn't have a culture that showed me the opportunities that were here. And so we look at that in middle school, high school, college, as kids are growing up. Shame on all of us if they don't know what's here. Shame on us if we dupe them into thinking that we're something we're not, right? At the same time.
Exactly right.
We can't convince anyone that we're something we're not. We're not going to convince anyone we're Florida. Lord help us if we ever turn into Florida. Nobody wants that. We're four-season living and proud of it. And we have some great career opportunities here. Do we have a thriving aerospace engineering industry? No. So if you're into that, you might need to look elsewhere, right?
Right.
So the point is, we got to show kids and we got to show adults what we've got to offer. And if they want what we have to offer, they're going to opt in. The good news with all this is that we don't have to reinvent our economy. We don't have to reinvent our identity to the world. We're a small state. And the good news is to solve our problems, the real numbers here are not huge. We don't need a million people. I mean, Lord help us if a million people want to move here.
Right.
We don't have the jobs, right?
Right.
So there is this chicken and egg of our workforce, to give you some numbers. So our workforce need is approximately, we need to add roughly 50,000 net new people over the next 10 or so years to our workforce to sustain 1 or 2% economic growth, GDP growth.
Yep.
So 50,000 people. It sounds like a lot of people sitting here in the studio. It is a lot of people if they all move to South Portland. That's 50,000 people spread across the whole state. And that's 50,000 people. You pass that number of people in about 1.8 seconds driving down in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of people in this world. So we don't need a lot of them. We just need the people that want what we have to offer, that are committed to Maine's quality of life and committed to growing their career here. So our job, we see our job at Live and Work in Maine is simply to promote what we've got and to make sure that those who want it know how to take advantage of that. And if we do that properly, there are definitely 50,000 people worldwide that want it.
In that 50,000, do you have breaking down the numbers by age group? Because I think that's an important part. Because there's a lot of argument to be said. We're probably getting 50,000 people over 65 coming.
So,
right?
Yeah.
So what you're talking about working ages. Are we talking 18 to 55? What's kind of the breakdown of what
sure.
we need?
So that 50,000 number is overall workforce, net workforce growth. So that's across no matter the age,
no matter
people
the age.
Working and contributing to the economy. So let's also keep in mind that 50,000 is net new. So as people retire, we have to replace those folks just to get to zero, right?
That's right.
And then we have to add another 50,000. Right. So the real number is probably, you know, if we do nothing but attract people from outside Maine to come here, it's going to be over 100,000 we need to attract. The reality is we don't need to do that. We shouldn't do that. There's no silver bullet here. So some of this is, and it's represented, so we're a member in the Maine Spark Coalition, which is a campaign that's organizing a lot of workforce development organizations such as ourselves, such as, again, there are a lot of organizations working in the immigrant community. There are a lot of organizations working with adults to retrain and get them back to work. And so we sort of aggregate around a shared goal, and we all have this little piece of the pie. So our piece of the pie is attraction. So our job is to attract people to Maine. There are some great, wonderful organizations working to help adults who want to go back to work or help adults who want to extend their career do so. So some of that net 50,000 is going to be adults that are here and currently outside of the workforce, getting them back into the workforce if they want to be. Some of that is working with the immigrant and refugee community, who some of which are able to work, some of which are not able to work by law, helping them to find a career here and plant their taproot, so to speak, because we need them to be a part of our community in order to sustain our economy and grow our workforce. Same goes with colleges and universities. Right now, we have a certain percentage of kids choosing to stay outside of graduation. We need to bump that number up. But we also have to attract people back to Maine. So when we say attraction of people from outside of Maine, the lowest hanging fruit there are boomerangs. So people such as myself, such as yourself, we were chatting before we went live that we're both started in Maine, left, and then came back. So we call those people boomerangs. These are folks that have a sense of what our quality of life is. We don't have to explain to them what winter is. We don't have to explain to them what our transportation infrastructure is like. You know, the reality of everybody in Maine owning a car and driving somewhere, that's not the case everywhere in the United States. If you don't like driving, you know, certain areas of Maine, it's going to be a challenge for you. There are a lot of people that love driving.
I just met
a guy that, you know, moved from New York to Maine. He owns a pretty nice car. He sat in his car for an hour and a half every day driving to work and went about 2 miles in the city.
That's not driving. That's sitting.
Right.
And I've done that trip. I know. It's
and he
true.
Loves living in Maine because he actually gets to drive his car.
That's
right.
Right.
And
right.
So there are certain value propositions there that we've got to package. We've got to make sure that people understand and that people who want it have the ability to take advantage of that. So our job is simply to bundle that together in a value proposition that gets people excited, show them career opportunities that employers have to offer, and then help them connect the dots to say, oh yeah, man, I can envision life in Maine. I do want to move me, my family, my significant other, whatever your family unit looks like. I do want to move to Maine, and here's how I do that. Those are the questions that we strive to help people answer for themselves, because at the end of the day, this is not a simple decision to move to Maine, but the good news is we've got tens of thousands of examples of people who call it their best decision they've ever made.
Well, there's no question that certainly when we're talking about the education piece, which is really what we're talking about, how do we educate people in returning here or educate people who are here staying or educate people who are here at a school and to keep working past their, you know, their college degree of whatever it is. You talked a little bit about aerospace, obviously not Maine. What are some of the industries that are really growing, booming here in the state that are, you know, really attracting great talent?
Sure. So I'll answer that in two ways. One is industries that are here and thriving. And then the second one is industries that have been identified as huge growth potentials for the next 10 years that are not currently big. So on the big side, a lot of them, so the other way to think about all this stuff is like an entrepreneur. So when an entrepreneur launches a business, they're looking at solving a problem. A challenge to an entrepreneur is an opportunity, right?
Absolutely.
So we got to be entrepreneurial about this. So it's framed as Maine's biggest challenge, our aging workforce. Well, what's the opportunity there? If you're in the healthcare field, talk about job security, right?
No question.
The healthcare industry is huge in Maine already, and it's set to grow even more. And the good news is, by the way, nationally and even internationally, Maine's healthcare system is ranked extremely well for the quality of care.
It is indeed.
So they've got some great competitive advantages in the ability to attract talent. And when we say healthcare, some of that is absolutely RNs and patient. I'm sure I'm not getting these terms right because I'm not in the healthcare industry, but patient facing jobs such as physicians, such as RNs, such as other
PAs,
like that.
NPs,
thank you.
Yes, MAs, all them.
Various aggregations of letters there with periods, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So those jobs are certainly in demand, but there's also a lot of support roles in finance, in IT is huge in healthcare. And so when we say, hey, are you interested in a career in healthcare? We also have to educate talent that that doesn't mean you're patient-centered. That doesn't
Correct.
Mean you're in the hospital room dealing with a sick individual. That means you could be working on the IT infrastructure statewide for Maine's largest healthcare system. You could do that for any industry, Bath Iron Works, healthcare, what have you. The IT need within the healthcare industry is huge. So from an employment standpoint, the employers have healthcare brands associated with them, and those industries are growing. Technology and startups, especially in Southern Maine, there are a number of companies that have started in the last 5 or 10 years, have grown a certain amount, and are set for huge growth in the next 10 years. And so the exciting part about promoting Maine's employment landscape is that some of the brands that people know well, L.L. Bean, Maine Health, the state of Maine government themselves, they're hiring, and there's great opportunity there in the next 10 years. The other exciting piece of this is that there are a lot of brands that people have no idea are located in Maine, and yet these brands are leveraging Maine for their growth. And so they're in some ways doing our job for us. When Flowfold, for example, a manufacturer of, they started out making wallets, and they're manufacturer now of everything from backpacks to fanny packs to wallets to all kinds of gear like that. Flowfold started selling wallets locally. They now have partnership agreements to distribute and sell products co-branded with L.L. Bean around the world. They're set for immense growth. And Flowfold is getting known as a brand, known for being in Maine. As they go out and sell their product that carries that Maine tag in it, literally, there's great benefit for other employers and other companies within that industry to leverage that shared value proposition of, hey, Maine's brand matters a lot to us. And so that's the exciting part there. And then very quickly on the other side, industries of potential. Aquaculture, that's a lot in the news. That is huge potential for job growth. Biopharma, and a couple of other industries that we have a close partnership with an organization called Focus Maine, who's born and leveraging. Their target is to identify... Their goal is to target those industries of potential and to accelerate the job growth within them over the next 10 years. So 10 years from now, if you ask that same question, the answer could be very different. And that's the exciting part. But the good news is right now there are more open jobs in Maine than there are people willing to take them. And that's a good spot to be from a talent attraction standpoint.
It absolutely is. We're talking with Nate Wiles, Executive Director for Live Work in Maine. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we'll be right back.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsInME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com in Maine. DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Nate Wiles, Executive Director for Live Work in Maine. And we're really talking about, hey, what about Maine as a state to come and work? Not only play, a lot of people come here to play. The numbers are staggering in regards to the amount of people that visit every summer, every year, even in the winter when they come skiing.
37 million.
Only 37 million. And we only need, if we only need 50,000, I don't even know, a tenth of a percent. I don't know how the math right here.
Let's go with that.
Let's go with it, a tenth of a percent. You know, but there are challenges. Let's let's have some honesty here, and there are challenges. And let's start with the obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
So, compensation-wise, if you were to take an average position here in Maine around the Portland market, or in the Portland area, which, of course, for you who don't know, Portland is the largest city in Maine, and you were to compare it compensation-wise to a role right outside the city of Boston, which is only an hour and a half from here, it's no comparison in terms of what you could potentially make in terms of it. In reality, the compensation is somewhere around 30 to 40% more of what you can make for an average position outside of Boston. Now let's talk cost of living, right? Cost of living in the Portland area is the same as around the city of Boston, not inside, but around the perimeter of Boston. So you're going to be paid 30 to 40% less to live in a place that costs about the same in the city of Portland. We're not talking outside of Portland. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about Portland itself, because that's where everybody wants to go, as we know. How do we deal with that?
Yeah, so there are two ways to approach that. Number one is that's changing in a lot of respects. There are a lot of employers that are competing on income and are competing on real wages, meaning that number, if they want to just start with that one number. But the other way we've got to think about this is that Maine is not Greater Boston. And so if you're interested in coming to Maine for a job, there are a lot of other things that come along with that outside of that salary number and even outside of the cost of living. And so you can make a numerical argument that the cost of living benefit of being in Maine outweighs the income differential. But that doesn't really tell the whole story, because your quality of life living in Portland, living in Brunswick, living in L.A., Lewiston, Auburn, living in Augusta, what have you, if you want the quality of life that that region has to offer, there's no area in Maine, period, that equates to the quality of life in Boston. So if you love life in Boston in the concrete jungle, you're not going to be happy in Maine. I'm not going to convince you otherwise. Full stop.
Absolutely.
If you want what Maine has to offer, you love the ability to go within less than an hour and a half, you can be on the beach or the ski mountain or the lake or the mountains and hiking or an urban center. If you want that and that's important to you, then that's not really reflected anyway in the quality of, in the cost of living or in the income. So there's, and that's why we talk about it as the investment in Maine's quality of life. If income is truly all you care about and you're that much of a robot, you show up, you get your paycheck and you go home and you do nothing else with your life. No, Maine's probably not the right place for you. If you value quality of life, if you value a really high quality public education system, if you value a really, one of the safest community networks in the state, in the nation, if you value the sense of identity that people who live in Maine have, if that's important to you, that's never going to be reflected in a spreadsheet. And if that's that important to you, you'll know it, and you'll decide to make that investment. Because, you know, to be honest, yes, if you take, you know, a job title, the same exact job description, and compare Maine to Boston, you're right. Your income's going to be different. Your rent is also going to be different. Your gas price is going to be different. But more importantly, your quality of life is going to be very different. And so, again, if you're happy in Boston and you love what Boston has to offer, we're not going to convince you that Maine's Boston, because we're definitely not Boston. But if you desire what Maine has more than what you've got in Boston, that's the starting place. And that's our value proposition, very simply and very cleanly. And so, the benefit of being in Maine, and there are a lot of one of my favorite sort of categories of success stories, as we call them, is people who are happy in Maine and for whatever reason. There's a huge column of people that are now able to remote work for the majority of their time from Maine for an employer based in Boston or based in New York or even based in D.C.
Absolutely. There's no question. A lot of it is happening.
Thank God for the internet, right?
Yes.
And so there are a lot of folks that either take the Downeaster because it's very affordable and easy. And by the way, they serve breakfast and have free Wi-Fi and you don't have to drive. And you take the train down to Boston, or you even take it all the way down to New York City. You take the bus, you even take a quick charter flight if you need to only pop down for once a month. Relatively affordable flights to go direct. You know, there are a lot of commuter options that allow you to spend the majority of your time in a place that you love, Maine, and still allow you to retain the job that you love, which might not be able to be in an office in Maine, but you know, maybe you don't need an office. And so there's a lot of those stories. And again, net 50,000 people, folks. You know,
That's true.
We don't need GE to open up a headquarters, and Lord help us, we don't need Amazon to open up their headquarters.
But if they chose to, we would accept them.
Sure. Though I actually think that would be worse for Maine than not. But if Amazon wants to hire 1,000 people to work remote from Maine, I think that's a great opportunity, both for Amazon and
for us. That's exactly my
point.
Really, more than that, we will take any employer that is willing to hire Mainers,
yes,
whether it be
absolutely
in a facility or remotely or some area. And I know there are certainly people who do customer service in area from
definitely
Maine to
yeah
do that without question.
And Wayfair is a great Boston example of, if we want to talk about Boston. I mean, they're a Boston-based company. They're a technology company, self-identified. You'd think of them as furniture. But they don't actually touch the goods. They handle the transaction. They're all technology-based. And they've got a huge operation in Brunswick. I mean, the last 3 years, they've gone from, I think they started with about 13 people, and they're now up to 750.
It's a great operation.
I mean, huge. And yeah. I live in Greater Brunswick. I live in Bath, and I know some folks who started there 3 years ago and took a very nice promotion and are working half-time in Boston, half-time in Maine. I mean, that's the dream, right? You got your foot in the door. You have a great career opportunity. You want to stay with your employer, and there's growth potential. I mean, that's huge, and that's why it's not – when you talk to folks who are looking at business relocation or business expansion opportunities, the term for Maine is not we got to poach that employer. Really, the opportunity for Maine is expansion. You know, are we likely to get Nike to relocate their entire operation to Maine? No. But the R&D and outdoor industry potential in Maine is huge. And so organizations like Maine Outdoor Brands are advocating for, hey, consider Maine as an expansion opportunity. Consider Maine as an R&D opportunity. We've got a great brand in L.L. Bean. We've got a great thriving startup scene in the outdoor industry. There's huge talent potential to have that shared resource, that shared brain trust all working in the same industry. And everybody benefits, by the way. If there are a lot of competitors in the same industry, if you talk to L.L. Bean today, their biggest struggle is attracting talent who sees their career opportunities as being only at L.L. Bean if they come to Maine, right? Imagine if there were three employers or even two employers of the same magnitude in that industry. The attraction of talent potential gets so much easier. From a talent perspective, you're taking a job at employer A. You know that if for whatever reason employer A doesn't work out or you can't grow your career as much as you would hope to at employee A, you've got option B. That's equivalent. You know that their jobs are roughly equivalent to employer A. So when we only have one employer of a certain industry, that's a disadvantage for the employer as much as it is for talent. And so again, that chicken and egg scenario plays out of we can convince people to come to Maine all day long. They need a job first. We can convince employers all day long to come to Maine. They need talent in order to hire. And so the exciting part is that we've got some great starts in certain industries. We've got some great momentum in certain industries. We're not starting from scratch. We're talking about accelerating the momentum. We're not talking about reinventing ourselves from ground zero.
One of the other challenges is Maine's a big state.
Yeah.
Right? And really, I think it's 70% of the population's in two counties, if I recall. Or I could be off by a couple digits, but approximately 70% in Cumberland and York. Mm-hmm. How do we look at the other part of Maine, the second Maine, if you want to call it, the Bar Harbors, the Camdens, the Bangors, which actually have had a resurgent, no question about Bangors actually coming to life. How do we look at those areas and connect the two? And how do we promote people living in a more rural setting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so great question. I mean, the term in Maine it's oftentimes referred to as the two Maines, right? Traditionally, it's seen as Bangor South is Maine 1 or Maine 2, and Bangor North is the other Maine. The reality is that's often framed as a challenge. We see it as an opportunity. So if you're living in Portland, the benefit you have as a Maine resident is that you have access to all of Maine. That's your home
no
state.
No question.
So we have, you know, I'm as much a Mainer in Aroostook County as I am a Mainer in York County. It's the culture and the reality might be very different on the ground, but the strength is the diversity there. The diversity of quality of life in Aroostook County versus anywhere else, the diversity between Bangor and Portland as cities, for that matter. That's a huge strength in attracting people who want something, want that depth that Maine has to offer. So here's the hard reality. Portland has a lot of activity. They've got Portland has the diversity of employers. They've got the diversity of activity. They've got the housing stock. They've got access to Boston. If you wanted to start somewhere, that's the easier sell for fill
in
the blank
town.
I mean,
they have the nightlife. They have the restaurants. They have the arts. They have all that.
Assuming you want those things, right?
Assuming you do. Yes.
We have to start from the standpoint of if you want those things, then Portland might be a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways we structured our website is you can explore employers based on quality of life attributes. So knowing that quality of life is Maine's competitive advantage, we start by saying, hey, don't explore careers by the title, right? I always pick on accounting because it's always the first one in the career list when you start with an AC. So instead of starting by accounting and filtering out all jobs that are accounting jobs, why don't you start with what you care about? So let's just pretend like you love snowmobiling, right? So don't tell us that you're an accountant yet, because if you just take an accounting job anywhere in Maine, there's a good chance you might not be happy, because again, we've got a huge diversity of quality of life. So start with snowmobiling and see where jobs are that there are world-class snowmobiling access opportunities. if you really love snowmobiling, this past winter you probably would have been happy anywhere in the state.
Anywhere. No question about that.
But year over year, without a doubt, Arista County offers some of the best snowmobiling in the world.
No question.
So if you love snowmobiling, start your search there. Are we telling you that you can't go snowmobiling anywhere else in the state? No. Are we telling you that you can't go hiking anywhere but Western Maine? No. But we're telling you, if you love hiking, and that's what you love doing every single day, start in Western Maine. That's your starting place, because that's the best hiking opportunities, concentrated opportunities that Maine has to offer. Same goes to snowmobiling. If you love snowmobiling, start in Arista County. If you love the arts, you love museums, you love that culture, start in Rockland, right? Mm-hmm. Rockland has a huge thriving scene for that. So we try to give folks a starting place to say, that's... You can find these things anywhere. If you really want to start something and grow it, you can find this anywhere in Maine. But if you love it, it's already thriving in this place. Start with your quality of life, then find a career from there. Because, again, our value proposition is quality of life, so we got to make sure people are happy before they actually find a job and get here. And so we've positioned it, we flipped it on its head that way, because in the same way that, you know, Michigan, Pure Michigan, great, great campaign. They've done a great job of that over the last decade. Spent
really
hundreds
have.
Of millions of dollars promoting the whole state. Every campaign shows this aerial view of lakes, right? If you have a fear of deep water, you're probably not going to be excited about Michigan.
Right?
So they know their value proposition. If you love the quality of life, the geography that that state has to offer, start there, right? For Maine, it's our quality of life. It's the diversity. We've got access to a lot. I can live in Bath, and within an hour, I can be in the Arts Center of Rockland. I can be in the Urban Center of Portland. I can be in the old Mill District of Lewiston Auburn. You've got access to all of that, and I love being in the center of things in Bath, right? That was the value proposition for me. So it's really just a matter of making sure that starting with our strength and then going from there is the best marketing that we can do for Maine.
You know, it's interesting. You're really talking about the what you would call the emotional connection,
yeah.
Right? Someone's emotional drive, what drives them to want to live somewhere, or drives to what they're, you know, really excited about. That's kind of the premise, right? Is that we start with that, and then we move into what you do.
Sure. I mean, in some ways, that's sales, right? I mean, we're not, you know, our successful sell is that somebody chooses to relocate to Maine. That's a win, right? So if you think about it in the metaphorical sales sense, when you're going to sell a vacuum, you know, you don't sell a vacuum on, you know, by knocking on the material and showing how hard it is, right? I mean, that at some point you might care about how the vacuum is mechanically structured, but you got to get excited, emotionally excited about. I should really pick a different metaphor than vacuums.
Well, I'm just saying, the vacuum is really the only thing that matters is if it sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest about that, right?
Right.
I mean, that's just the reality of it. So we're going to go to break as we think about that.
What a break opportunity that was.
What a great break opportunity that was. Yes. Nate Wiles talking about vacuums, the executive director for Live, Work, and Maine. And we'll be right back on the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we'll be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com. And maine.dalecarnegie.com. Our guest today is Nate Wiles, Executive Director for Live, Work, and Maine. And we're talking about why Live, Work, and Maine, right? Why should you be here? We talked a little about some of the challenges. One of the things that I'll ask you, because I think it's important to ask the question about coming to Maine is, and you talk about the boomerangs. I get calls almost every week about people who want to move back to the state of Maine, right? And they may have found something that they're interested in. but their spouse, right?
Yep.
The trailing spouse.
The accompanying partner.
The accompanying partner can be sometimes a challenge, yep, finding them a role, right? And I know corporations deal with this all the time.
Yep.
You know, we have an employer up in the Bar Harbor region that brings in great paying jobs. However, right, that spouse, that partner, that child, you know, has to come to an area where there's like two, maybe three restaurants in the winter that are open, and you go from a place that is amazing in the summer to pretty darn quiet in the winter. What are they going to do? How do we deal with that part of it? Because we've got the person who's excited to come here, excited to take the job, but the spouse has a challenge.
Yeah. So main employers report that as probably the number one reason, number one or number two reason that talent decides not to take a job offer in Maine. So it's certainly a big challenge. I'll give you a couple examples of how that's being addressed. Number one is we have a great partnership with an organization called Maine Career Connect. So it's an organization that started in Bangor. It's now expanding. They're in the prototype phase in Portland this year. They work directly with employers. So employers hire them. They're a nonprofit. They hire them to provide a concierge service to talent that they have made a job offer to that have a lot of questions about, what if I say yes? And typically, it's always the accompanying partner that they work with the most for that very reason. Because the employers in Portland and the employers in Bangor have a great track record of addressing the accompanying partner first. And the success stories always end up being the accompanying partner dragging the person with the job offer along with them because they get so excited about the community when they have a chance to understand what's out there. So number one is it's awareness. So making sure that the job offer is maybe the excuse to start exploring, but it's not the answer to everything you're going to do. Again, we live and work in Maine for a reason, and that the Maine's value proposition is not just the jobs we have to offer. It is jobs and life. And we don't work to live in the same way we don't live to work. You know, the quality of life in Maine is defined by the fact that our lunch meetings are at an oceanfront restaurant walking distance from the office, or your conference calls can be taken from the ski, you know, the chairlift on the mountain in the winter, giving you recent examples of things I've done, or you know, the fact that we've got, you know, just a great, safe downtown community is accessible to go for a walk in the woods from your office. You know, there are a lot of employers in Augusta, big office buildings that when you drive by the office building, you know, your first thought is, oh, I would work in that building. And oftentimes you see groups of people with their ID badges around their waist walking in downtown Hollowell or walking in the trails and the public land trust maintains. So that's just part of the status quo, right? And so we've got to get the accompanying partners aware of the community that they're coming into. But if they're interested in a job, we got to get them a job. And so example two is an informal example of HR and talent acquisition teams at major employers have traditionally been competitors, right? So 10 Absolutely. Years ago, Ed McCursey is the first one to say, you know, he couldn't have launched Live and Work in Maine 10 or 15 years ago because the culture within Maine employers was very cutthroat. It was, I'm going to take the talent I need and, you know, too bad. That has changed dramatically for the better to that everyone now recognizes that a rising tide lifts all boats. We talked about the L.L. Bean example or the outdoor industry example. If we can grow the overall pool of employers in that outdoor industry, that's good for everyone because it makes it easier to attract the talent we need. So from the talent acquisition and HR departments, there are a number of private LinkedIn groups of recruiters that have a personal relationship with one another. Even though they may be competing for the same types of talent, they're working together to say, hey, I've got a talent on the hook. Please respect that. Don't poach them. But hey, they're coming with a partner who has these credentials. Does anyone happen to have a job open? Very informal, right? It's a post on a private message board. It's an email to someone you have a good relationship with. It's trying to connect those dots because there's a recognition. Hey, you're offering talent that you have access to your competitor, in the hopes that you can land the talent that you've made a job offer to. So it requires going out on a limb, but it also, it's a, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I mean, it's a rising tide lifts all boats. I need a hand now trying to find this person a job. Tomorrow is probably going to be you, right? And so by working together, there's plenty of jobs out there. It's just awareness and finding a good match. And so if we can all help each other make those connections, the good news is if I'm an employer and I make a job offer to someone and their accompanying partner isn't a good fit at my organization and they're a good fit at yours, if they both get a job and they move to Maine, those are two more customers for us both. Those are two more people paying property taxes. Exactly, two more people contributing to our community. And by the way, we're not that big a state. And so we have to maintain a good relationship together between employers and those individuals. I hope that that talent will stay for a long time here and add value to my organization. But if they want to move on and do something different, they might very well end up at your shop. And so there's a recognition that we're not that big a place that you will not get lost in the shuffle. And so we have to be clear-minded and open-eyed about the fact that we're inviting talent to the main community first. They're not joining my employer club, and they're exclusively owned by me forever. They're joining the main community, and wherever they happen to work is where they happen to work. But we're one family here, and that's our strength. But it's also our detriment if we don't acknowledge that in the attraction and recruitment process.
One of the other things that is a big industry in Maine is the service side, yeah. Right? So we're not only talking about restaurants and all of the service industries, but we have a big seasonal ramp up that really puts a big strain on the summer, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be camps, summer camps, whether it be, as I said, restaurants, whether it be ice cream shops or just things that are out there that happen. How do we address that issue of that huge influx, right? And we're talking about sometimes going out. I know that a lot of the camps take people from out of the country. Mm-hmm. I remember going to summer camp up in Oakland, yep. And most of the camp counselors are English or some other, you know, from other places. How do you work with the groups that are outside of Mainers,
yeah.
Or locally here in Maine to make that happen?
Yeah, so I'll give you some examples of things that are working and bodies in motion. So Arista County, and I am spacing, and I'm going to butcher the name of the organization, but it's under the Aristic Partnership, Aristic Opportunity Partnership. There's a group in Arista County that's working on attracting and placing families from Puerto Rico, part of the United States, placing them and attracting them to the county to work and live full time. So that's, they've identified, there's a seasonal workforce that comes up from Puerto Rico on a regular basis. They've identified that, and because of that, there's a great awareness of what the county has to offer. So again, are they trying to attract 60,000 people? No. If they can place a few families a year, that's a huge win for
sure.
A place like Arista County.
Absolutely.
And those families obviously have to opt in and want what Arista County has to offer. So that's an example of a very, sort of particular, they know their target audience and they're really focused in on that. Let's talk about the most recent news on the immigration front, the huge population of asylum seekers that has ended up in Portland.
Yes.
By the time this airs, it's new things I'm sure would have happened. The most recent status today is that the governor has signed some emergency executive orders to provide easier access to general assistance and try to get these folks into employment faster while they're here in Maine. We don't know how long asylum seekers are going to be here, but they're going to be here long enough to work, and we hope that there are a number of those folks that will choose to stay here in Maine because, we need them to contribute to our economy, and they bring a lot. They offer a lot of diversity in mindset, diversity in culture and in skin color, and a lot of things that Maine could stand for benefit from. And so there are some great organizations collaborating in Portland. There's a triage mindset right now of these people showed up at once, and we got to get them clothing and food and shelter. As soon as we move past that and there's employment opportunities, I know firsthand of at least about a dozen employers that could hire all of them tomorrow and are pretty eager to do so. And the first thing before they get hired, obviously, is to do some skill mapping and to figure out.
Right.
So you're here seeking asylum in the United States. You've chosen Maine. These people opted in. They chose Portland. I mean, let's start there. How cool is that? The people from outside the United States, from very far away, not even Puerto Rico's close by relative to where these folks, right? They're coming from
right.
Largely Central America and Africa.
Yep.
These folks knew enough about Portland, Maine to say, I want to go there.
Isn't the internet wonderful?
That's awesome. And frankly, they chose us for a reason because they wanted to be here. Thank you for choosing us. Now it's our obligation to make sure that you have not only a safe stay here, but also a productive stay here. And just like any human being, you want to feel valued. And so these folks have skills and ability to add value to our economy. So fast forward. There's some great organizations doing that work in Portland that are trying to put these folks to work, which is great. And by the way, there might be more asylum seekers showing up any day. We didn't have much of a heads up that this group of 200-some showed up. Who knows how many more will show up? So the good news is that once we move past this triage, we're developing a good system for not just onboarding folks who are seeking asylum, but a similar process can also be used for folks who aren't here yet but might end up choosing to be here, either through that immigration process or, frankly, within domestic migration. So folks who are that's a fancy term for meaning people who live in California and might want to give the East Coast a try.
Right.
And so the same things that apply to, hey, what are your skills and what are you interested in doing because you're seeking asylum? Those same questions and those same processes can also be applied to somebody that is relocating within the United States.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsinME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Our guest today has been talking a lot about the state of Maine. He's Nate Wilds. He's the executive director for Live Work in Maine. You know, Nate, we've been talking a lot about why somebody should come here, what the challenges are. We've talked a lot about opportunity, really more than challenge, to be honest with you. And look, you said some great things about ways that, you know, to think differently and educate people, to be honest with you, of why it is a great place to be, great place to work, and a great place to live. As we wrap up the show today, talk to me a little bit about how people can get involved. Talk about what's really important and why you're doing the work you're doing.
Sure. So briefly, as a transition from our last conversation, the reason that we don't focus exclusively on college students, or that we focus exclusively on adults going back to work, is that the data shows there's no silver bullet here. We need adults to go back to work. We need more kids to choose here to stay. We need more people to come back, those boomerangs. We need immigration. We need all of those things because the numbers don't work unless we have all of them. And so how we do that is twofold. One is, and the best way that people can get involved, is by promoting what you love about Maine. And we don't prescribe the good things about Maine. We all have our favorite things. Some people love different things than others. The reality is that's our strength. And the fact that everybody, whoever you are, and if you're considering Maine, you're going to relate to certain people more than others. So we have to tell as many different stories about why people love it here as possible. And so the best thing that anybody can do is, frankly, be loud and proud about why they love Maine. And for whatever reason that is, that will resonate with someone that might consider coming here. Tell your story about why you brought your kids when they were young. Tell your story about why you moved here when you were pregnant and you had a great job opportunity and you convinced your husband to come along with you. Tell the story about why you resent the fact that you only came here when you were 55 and wish you would come here when you were 30. Whatever your story is, we've got to tell those louder and prouder to enable those who might want what we have to offer to relate. Because the reality is that's the best selling point that we have. There's no billboard that's going to make the sale. The strongest advertisement we have is by telling human stories, the real story about why people like it here. And so we provide a number of ways for people to get involved. The first is we give out a lot of stickers.
You do, and you have some today.
So we have, our brand is the message, live and work in Maine. It's, you know, we don't beat around the bush in that regard. So we give out a lot of stickers. If you email us at info@liveandworkinmaine.com, we're happy to mail out free stickers to folks who would love to put them on their office door, car bumper, what have you. And little messages like that. I mean, our vanity license plates are one way that people show pride in whatever their message is. If you're willing to put a bumper sticker on your car, that's a small way of showing the fact that we're proud to be here. And that as our 37 million guests a year show up, that's our tourism population. As those people drive around and experience our state, they need to see that there are people that are excited to be here. And if they see how happy we are and how excited we are to be here, they're going to want a piece of that action. Because let's be honest, the tables right now are framed as we're trying to convince people to come, and that's our job, and we'll beat that drum and we'll toot that horn. But I dream of a world in which that table flips, in which people are begging to come to Maine, and there are only so many jobs that we get to be. That it's a very highly competitive process. Maine is one of the best places on planet Earth, and we should have an employment market that reflects that.
You know, I got to tell you, you guys do a lot of great work in a very short period of time. It's come alive, and I've watched it grow in terms of its activity, and you've done a really great job. And so I want to credit you guys for what has happened.
Thank you.
You know, to take this nonprofit of what you're doing to grow it and to make it work. Can I say it's a nonprofit?
Yeah,
okay.
Coming soon.
Okay. You can fix that, Deb. Has really made a huge difference in terms of at least getting the word out. And you can hear it when you're outside of the state. You actually have heard of this. And I want to give you kudos for that. And
we're happy
to promote it today here on the HR.
Well, and as you were saying before we went live, your audience, if we'll compare the number of people that choose to come to Maine in the next week with your audience size, and we'll give you full credit for however many tens of thousands of people
that's
choose
good.
To do
I
that.
I like that. That's a good idea. We like this. You hear that, everyone?
And I'm going to take the rest of the week off because this is all we needed to
do here. Perfect. Nate, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate
the
opportunity.
Welcome. Of course, we'll have all this information after the show on hrpowerhour.com. Please make sure you go there. You'll get the link to Nate. You get the link to the organization. And, of course, you can listen to this show if you were unable to listen to it for the full intent here on the radio. And now your HR tip of the week. Your HR tip of the week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez from VeralDana. When you experience a behavioral or performance issue with an employee, what is your first step in crafting the response? With HOPE, it's to check to make sure that the company's expectations were clear and that the employee had a reasonable opportunity to understand what behavior was considered appropriate by the company. In real-world terms, turn to that employee handbook. Or review the assignment that was given to the employee to determine whether adequate parameters and expectations were set forth. Does the employee's behavior clearly violate a policy or practice of the organization? Was the employee aware of the employer's policies and practices? Were the policies at that time, or are the policies still in place? Are you an organization that follows your practices and policies, or have they evolved so much over time that the written handbook no longer controls the practices of the organization? It may sound like I'm simply rambling off a bunch of questions and not providing any guidance here, but when you get sued for discriminatory or retaliatory termination, these are some of the early questions your counsel is going to ask once you begin your conversation. If you have further questions concerning best practices as to this subject, contact a member of VeralDana's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLLB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.